be over you, and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I'm so excited to bring the Word to you today, and I'm glad you're here. It's amazed me during this time that the church can't meet in a building how well the church has continued to meet. So thank you for making this a priority for you and for your family. It's going to be a good day. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 15. And I've got something that I want to talk about this morning that I think that will really encourage you. I want to title today's message, What's in Between? With a question mark. What's in between? But in between is a very unique way to think about some things. I mean, a lot of our life is lived in between. We live at this weight for a certain time, and then it just kind of slowly goes up, and then we go, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. And so on this diet, we're headed back down, but we've got all of these clothes that fit us here, and what we're doing is we're in between sizes. Come on, anybody testify? I'm in between sizes right now. Because you're in between weights. Maybe you've been at this church long enough to have lived some of the in-between times of our building projects. We're in between a building project. We're not where we're going to be, but we're not where we were. And so we talk about the in-between times in life, and I think about most of life is lived in between. The time between Thanksgiving and Christmas seems like forever. I mean, as a kid especially, but even as an adult, I just can't wait for Christmas. You can't wait for the next blessing. See, right now, we're in between our last day of school or our last day of work, and maybe not all the kiddos are looking forward to the return to school, but a lot of us are saying, okay, I'm ready to go to work. I mean, we're in between right now being able to go out without a concern about a virus. So we're in between. The meaning of between is at or into or across the space separating. See, there's a separation between where you were and where you're going to be, and that space in between, that in between, is that crossing of what has separated you from where you were and where you're going. You know where you're going, but you're not there yet. See, I know that we're not going to be quarantined the rest of our life. So I know I'm going somewhere. And we're praying for the start to get the journey on the road. Here's the thing. In the in-between times, sometimes we can have fun in between, but most of the time it's hard. Sometimes it's joyous, but most of the time it's hurtful. It's stressful. It's sightless. You can't see sometimes. I mean, it's in between when you can only see where you were, but not always where you're going to be. And oftentimes, the in-between time is frustrating. I want to encourage you today to embrace and prepare right now for where you are going to be, and whatever you've been quarantined from starts to resume, I want you to be prepared to resume. Are you still going to be headed, once you resume your life after this quarantine time is over, are you still headed to a victory, or are you resuming back to an in-between life? Now let's think about this today. Look at Scripture, Exodus 15, verse 22, jump down to 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Then they came to the oasis of Marah. The water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Verse 24, then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. After leaving Marib, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs, 70 palm trees, and they camped there beside the water. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking just your anointing upon this scripture, that it would encourage us while we are at an in-between time in our lives to know that you are God and that you're going to see your people through. And I give you praise for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. The first part of chapter 15, we didn't read, and I wanted to talk just a little bit about that. It says in the first part of chapter 15 that they were just out of Egyptian bondage. They just crossed the Red Sea. They'd seen a miraculous event take place, and now they, jumping down to where we started in verse 20 through 24, they're grumbling and complaining. Now, the miracle they'd just seen was phenomenal, and it... In fact, if you look at the first of 15, it talks about, I'll sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. They were so excited, and then in just a few verses that we read in Scripture, they're grumbling and complaining again. You know, the in-between time in life oftentimes comes after things have been going pretty well. Verse 22, 23, 24, it's tough. It's tough. One victory and then in between again. Victory comes and then back to the tough. The children of Israel were in the middle of difficulty. Now let me just talk about this. Having no water is trouble. It's tough being in between waiting on the next blessing. They're murmuring and they're saying, what are we going to drink? Come on, we were in Egypt. We had all of this other stuff. And that was all great, but when you don't have water, you really got something to complain about. And we tend to get caught up in the immediate. See, the immediate, when there's trouble, the immediate becomes very, very big. And understandably so, because water's a big deal. When there's no water, there's an immediate, and you can't think of anything else. 3 days without water, you're going to be thinking only about water. And everywhere they looked, They were, what are we going to do? There's no water here. There's nothing we can drink. And in the Old Testament, you read story after story about God's deliverance out of Egypt, out of the mess they were always in. The story's told over and over and over and over again. And if you've been at CMC any length of time at all, you've heard it told over and over and over again. And maybe we need to talk about it again right now, because we got to look how God saw his people through every time that there was an immediate. When there was an immediate need, God saw his people through. I mean, right now you may be wondering, how are you going to pay bills? What's going to happen with my job? My family difficulties. I mean, I've never had my whole family at home at the same time, and it was good for the first 3 days, but now, see, in between. You're not sure what to do. You're in between. And once again, you look back at 15, and I mean, the victory was awesome. They sing a song about it. I'll sing to the Lord. He's triumphed gloriously in verse 1. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's given me victory. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and army, he's hurled them into the sea. Verse 5, the deep waters, they gushed over them. I love how excited they were. Verse 9, the enemy boasted, I'll chase them and catch up with them. I'll plunder them. I'll consume them. I'll flash them with my sword. But you blew your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Glorious in holiness. Awesome in splendor. Boy, they were bragging on God. And then you jump down. And all of a sudden, they forgot how excited that they were. They were delivered. They were excited. Let me give you some encouragement here. Don't ever put anyone down for rejoicing. When you've been delivered, you've got reason to rejoice. See, it's not a good thing if you can't get excited about what God has done for you. So I'm not putting them down for their excitement. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Right now, I'm telling you, I've been rejoicing that God has allowed us to live in a day and age where we have the ability to record, to send out on media something that we couldn't have done 20 years ago. I mean, this time right now is amazing, and I'm rejoicing for the technical ability that we live in, the society we live in, and what we have available to keep the church connected when we're quarantined. Is there anyone here that has ever had victory over your enemy? Now think about it. Maybe the last victory, maybe some victory that you've experienced in your life, and you remember being so excited about what God had done that you couldn't have done on your own. And I mean, it was a victory like no other. And you realized that praising God was just a part of that process and deliverance was there. And you remember that. And now you're going, boy, I remember that. Like it was great. But now what? You're in between. See, there's still another victory that's coming. Victory is coming. So many are allowing defeat to come into their lives right now during this in-between time. You're not seeing this as an in-between time when you're not believing for the victory that's coming. See, you're seeing this as this is now your arrival. This is not the ending point. And you're making up all these excuses why you're not going to be able to make it to the next victory. Well, I don't have what so-and-so has. I didn't have the reserves they had. My kids don't have the opportunities other kids have. I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I don't have a way out of this situation. I have never, ever, ever been in this position, and I don't know how to get out. Here's what I can tell you. They were without water 3 days, and they didn't know how to get out. But God did. Each one has been given a measure of something to rejoice about in all of life. And if you look back at the beginning of chapter 15, you can see that. Now, in life, there are times you'll be cornered and you'll feel you have no way out. And I want you to know that being a Christian, there is always a way out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he that is in you is God. And he that is in the world is the enemy." And what I'm telling you, God is bigger, and we're going to win on God's side this battle. I don't want anyone saying at the end of this that we could have won this battle if I'd have just kept my eyes on the same things that the Christians did. Come on, you're a Christian this morning, and if you're not, you need to get saved, because in the end, there is victory. I don't want anybody just laying down in defeat. God is bigger. I'm looking for the miracle while I'm in the in-between time. There is a piece of wood laying somewhere that's going to turn bitter into good. So we don't have to live bitter. Next point here. If you're not looking for the wood to turn this situation, it's not the wood, it's God who pointed us to the answer. But the answer was in the natural. But the natural became supernatural because God said, look over here. And it, as I was reading this over the last couple of days, I want you to know that it just occurred to me, there are some things that you can't do in and of yourself. You can't turn bitter water into good water, but God can. I was thinking of things that we can't do, and I wanted to give you an illustration this morning. So if you're sitting in your living room or you're sitting somewhere where you can't, I want you to sit down right now. I want you to take your foot, and I want everybody, we're going to go widescreen here for just a second. We're going to take our foot, and we're going to turn it in a clockwise motion. Everybody turn your foot in a clockwise motion. So we're moving our foot clockwise. You can even do it with your hand. All right, now with your right hand, while you're moving your foot clockwise, don't quit that. That stays in motion. Take your right hand and draw the letter 6 without stopping your foot. I've tried it for 2 days. I can't do it. Come on, keep trying it for a second. So I know you're going to keep doing that while I need to get back to the Word. But that, all right, you can do that later. You turn in your foot clockwise, and then you try to turn your right hand and draw the letter 6. Something has to stop because you can't do it. There are some things you can't do. Now, somebody's going to say, I did it. Well, you've practiced it before. Because just right off the bat, your brain won't let you do that. There are just certain things you can't do. Keeping your foot going in the same pace, in the same circle, with your right hand, drawing the number 6 in the air, one of them stops. Let me tell you some other things in life you can't do. You can't part a sea and have others walk through on dry ground. You can't make water go from bitter to normal. You need a supernatural move of God. Come on. Right now here in the United States of America, we're needing a supernatural move of God, and we're needing someone to go and do what God said and pick up some wood and turn the natural into supernatural so we can see a miracle. We can't in this church right now fold. We've got to do what God asks. God will do his part. He'll make a way where there seems no way. God's people in Scripture have a bad habit of grumbling and complaining. And I don't know that it's always in Scripture. I think it's right now in our current day and age. We have a bad habit of grumbling and complaining. When God has provided a way for you, but you can't see it yet, doesn't mean he hasn't provided it. That was good. Now think about that. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God hasn't already provided a way out of this. If we're not careful and we don't watch out for sin that wants to destroy God's plan, because God's people have got to be looking to him, sin will keep us from seeing all that God has to offer. Now, obviously, there's power working in and through you and I that is greater than anything this world will ever provide. You got to stay plugged in to see what God is getting ready to do. God will provide a way when there is no way. Verse 26 gives us some insight here. Three insights that I want to talk about to endure during the time of in between. Here's the first one. Listen. Listen to the voice of God. You got to hear what he says. When the word on Sunday or Wednesday goes out, you need to plug into that word. Daily, we're putting devotions on here for you to plug into word. Let me encourage you. Your time in the word yourself, you got to listen to what he's saying. We've got to listen. Verse 26, you got to listen. Second thing is, you got to do. You got to do what is right in his sight. He sees all, so doing right needs to be a daily, minute-by-minute deal. Let's say second by second. Doing right includes thinking right, but we're doing. The third thing is we've got to obey. It says give ear to his commandments and laws. Well, giving ear, if you want to break it down, it means to obey his commandments and laws. You know, there's a time for some excitement about all that God is doing. And just before the bitter water, when you're in an immediate crisis, an immediate need, there are times that God is your only option. But if we could change that a little bit and make him our only option, even in times of good, if we could make him our only option all the time, then we would start seeing things possibly from a different perspective. Chapter 15, right before the verses that we were talking about, chapter 15, verse 20. I want to talk about Miriam, the prophet. Verse 20 and verse 21. Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. And Miriam sang this song, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He's hurled both horse and rider into the sea." I mean, you just got to know Miriam was excited. She knew all that her baby brother had gone through. She knew him from childhood. She'd seen it all. God had done amazing things. And they got out and they had tambourines and they sang and they danced. And I dance for you right now, but I get in trouble. It's just time for us to get out of what we have been in between. And we got to start praising him. What you have to sing is what you can know that God either brought you from or is taking you to. You have to give, and you have to give, and you have to give so that you can get to a place where you can receive. What you have to do is you have to shout. What do you have to shout about? Come on, we all got something to shout about. What have you got to praise him about? Then praise him. If you've got something to shout him about, shout. If you've got something to give, then give. We've got to get to a place where our past victories in our life, we're still praising him through till we get to the next victory. Here's my point today. I've got to be living on the joy of the past victory until there's a switch on the in-between, and we make the in-between real small, and we start living on the joy of the promise of what's to come. Say that again. I need to be living on the joy of the past victory and the joy of the promise of what is to come. The joy from the past victory and the joy of what is to come. And then it makes the in-between time significant. Don't forget, listen, do, and obey while you are in between. This week, start thinking about where you're going, what God has promised you. Where you are at can oftentimes get the best of you, but where you are going will oftentimes get you past where you're at. Start rejoicing and quit living on your own. Come on, there's a piece of wood that God has said, reach down and grab that. Put that in that water and let's get this bitter gone. We're not living at Mara. It's an in-between time. But in between, God has provision for us to get us to the next victory. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for our families. I ask your blessing to be upon them. And God, I pray that we would be doers of your word. We would hear it so that we could be doers, and that we would get after it. We would do it. We would just go and be what you've called us to be. Father, that the word of God today will be a lamp for us. In a time that the world sees a lot of darkness, the word of God is illuminating our path. And God, today I thank you that you gave us your word and that we hide it in our hearts. And day in, day out, minute by minute, we live this. Give you praise for each of our families. I pray right now for all the in-between times. You know all the specifics. God, I'm praying for whatever that piece of wood needs to be for them to get their immediate met so that they can get on to the full victory. Praise you today, and I thank you for your word as it becomes real in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.